God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire.
Amen.
One night, while I was watching The Daily Show, I heard Senator Cory Booker say something that was so true that it has stuck with me for a couple years now. He said, "If a family fails, it is a detriment to us all. If a child fails, we are all bereft of the genius of that kid if he were to grow up and be successful. If a person falls into drug addiction, we all hurt from that. And if you empower someone to succeed and that child becomes a biologist, an entrepreneur, it grows our economy. We all benefit." He goes on to wish that, quote, "we could bring our country to the understanding that when we all succeed more." The reason his words stuck out to me is because it is not what one usually hears in late night television or our world at all, really. But it does resonate with much of what we hear in our scripture passages today. The way Senator Booker describes is the opposite of the way of being that usually is encouraged in our world. The wisdom in our world is that I need to be the best. I need to win. The wisdom of our world is that whenever you get something that I don't get, that it's something that I don't get. So the more you succeed, the more you take away my chances of succeeding. We learn this way of being far too early, starting in school. By high school, it's well ingrained enough in our children that they are competing against their classmates for limited spots academically, athletically, and in every realm. It continues into the workforce in any field, working for a limited number of spots to move on up. We also continue to long for a better house, a better car, more things, and on, sure that that next step will make us happy, that in the next place we will be content. But our gospel reading today assures us that this way of living with each other is nothing new. While walking between cities, Jesus hears his disciples arguing amongst themselves and asks them what they were arguing about. They're ashamed to admit it, but Jesus knows that they were arguing about who was the greatest among them. Although they had been given up most of their possessions and the normal things in life, even the disciples are still vying to know who is best among them. They're still caught in this way of competition among each other that we all fall into. The book of James also addresses this way of being. James describes this as the wisdom of the world. For James in his time, wisdom was a way of seeing the world, a way of being in the world. And he says that the wisdom that is earthly, unspiritual, devilish even, is to have envy and selfish ambition. He goes on to say, "You want something and you cannot have it. You covet something and you cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts." At its core, he says, this is the basic cause of the brokenness of human relationships. And then James, though, compares this with what he calls wisdom from above. He contrasts it with another way of being in the world, a possible way of wisdom that is from God and sees the world the way God does. This way is different from the way of the world, and he is clear that the conflicts and disputes that are normal in the world have no place in the body of Christ. Our life together is to be different because we are supposed to live in the world in a different way. And Jesus' answer to the question of who is the greatest among his disciples describes this different way of being to them as well. He says that the greatest, the first among them would be last, so would be the servant of all. He goes on to say that whoever welcomes a child in his name welcomes him. Now, this might not be so strange in our culture, but in their culture, this was a huge statement. Children were certainly loved as they have been in any part of human history, but they had no status, no rights outside of their parents. They had no honor in society, and no one would have expected them to have been given a welcome, certainly not the welcome of a respected leader like Jesus. And yet Jesus says, in response to who is the greatest, that it is those who welcome children. Those who welcome the ones the world ignores, that is the one who is the greatest. And welcoming children doesn't mean expecting children to act like adults. Welcoming children means accepting them for who they are, accepting and embracing the noise and laughter and tears and the unexpected, uncontrollable timing of all those things. And Jesus says that when we do that, that we are welcoming Christ himself. And in doing so, we are welcoming God among us. Jesus says that the way we treat children among us is how we treat God among us. Jesus says that this is what it means to be truly great. It is not to see what someone else can do for me. It's not to see who they might be in the future. To be truly great is to welcome them in the beauty and rawness of who they are right now. Just to see the inherent dignity and worth that they are now as a child of God. To be a follower of Jesus is to live according to this wisdom from above, the way of being that God intends for us, that sees the world as God does. It's this way of being that's truly shown in the life of Jesus, because only wisdom from somewhere other than this world could possibly have led to the incarnation. To follow Jesus is to live according to a different wisdom, because it's only a different wisdom that could have led to God's way of being in this world. According to the wisdom of the world, the incarnation makes no sense whatsoever. And yet, it is the very essence, the very crux of our faith. The all-powerful and all-present God of the entire universe loved us so much that God chose to become one human person at one time, a peasant among a people who were conquered and mistreated by the empire of their day. God came and lived among broken, messy people and endured all the daily difficulties and pervasive pain that we face every day in this human life. And rather than using his power as God in the flesh to lord it over the people what he knew or what he was capable of doing, Jesus allowed himself to suffer and be killed by the deep brokenness of people living our normal, human, earthly way of being in the world. The wisdom from above was not power over people, but in a power over that whole way of being. In dying among us and for us, Jesus overcame the very power that we all fear most, the power of death. The wisdom from above, the way of being that makes no sense in our world, is what brought life that could never be overcome, life that rose again from the dead, and life that will go on forever. It's this life that is available to us now, today, and always. This wisdom, this way of being and living in our world, this is the way of Christ. This is available to us today, and it is truly a way of life. I think we all know deep down that the way of being of our world, the wisdom that is the way of selfishness and constant competition, the way that tells us to look out for ourselves and our own, that sees the good of another as my loss, is not a way that leads to any kind of real life. It is a way of death, a slow death to our hearts and souls, to the love and connection we were made for, a death where our hearts keep beating, but we lose those things that make us truly alive. But the good news of Christ is that we don't have to live that way. We are given the way of life by the one who has already lived it to the end, to offer a life abundant and eternal to us. And we are given that as a community, a way of being together to show the world the hope that can be found in living a different way. In this way of Christ, we know, as Senator Booker said, that building up another doesn't mean my loss, but rather my gain. Seeing a child succeed means a better world for that child and for all of our children, and a better world for us all. This way of life means celebration and joy for the good that happens to all children of God. It means seeing Christ in every child of God and longing for them to have life abundant. Living this way means being the good news to the world. We've been called not just to share the good news with the world, but to be the good news in our world. Like Jesus, we are to live out this way of being. We are to be Christ to our world as we show the world a different wisdom, a way that is salvation from the way of death that this world traps us in. Our world is longing for that salvation. Our world is longing for that hope that it doesn't have to live that way. So let us go from here and let us live out this wisdom from above. Let us be the good news that our world is longing to know. Amen. Amen.